Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can join the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you. So call now, 800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our kids have about gone through the public school system. Our youngest is a senior in high school this year, but I've been thinking through kind of all of their stages, and one of the most awkward times for a kid is the first day of school when they go to the lunchroom,
yeah,
and they're trying to figure out where to sit, and they have this question, can I sit at your table? And they ask it with fear and trepidation because they're afraid they might get no back as the answer. And if you get rejected, then you want to figure out, well, how can I be a part of that group? How can I fit in? How can I belong? How can I be one of them? Well, that's a lifelong, situation, yeah, an issue for us. We want to fit in. We want to belong. That's why it's so vitally important for us to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Because if we don't understand who we are, then those times when we don't fit into certain groups are going to kill us. They're really going to knock us down, destroy our self-image. So we have to have solid footing. And that solid footing is found in Christ and what he says about us, not in what others say about us. But this is a vitally important question. And can I sit at your table is really one of the root causes of legalism.
Yeah.
We see it in the book of Galatians chapter 2. Paul writes this, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. So here was the apostle Peter in Antioch, and Paul opposed him because of something he did wrong. Well, he's going to tell us what he did wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with Gentile Christians.
Yeah.
So he went into the lunchroom. There was a bunch of Gentiles at a table, and he said, can I sit at your table? And they said, yes. And boy, he joined right in. Why? Because they were seeing each other not as Jews or Gentiles, but as children of God. And then something happened.
Yeah.
When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentiles who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He looked at the Gentiles and he said, no, you can't eat at my table. You don't belong here. And he did this because he was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy. Even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. It's just unbelievable. Christ has reached out to both Jew and Gentile, and he's given us a new identity. And now we don't have to look at each other from our past, our heritage, our ethnicity, or all of those things. We can look at each other through the eyes of Christ Jesus, right, through the lens of grace, through this new covenant that we participate in today as children of God. And when we do, there are no requirements for people sitting at our table. We just join in. Why? Because we truly belong to one another. As soon as we start looking at divisions, looking at differences, then we resurrect the law that we've died to. The only way that you can sit at my table is if you do this, if you're like this, if you have done this in the past. And all of the rules and regulations are brought back up. And when we bring those rules and regulations back up, we cause division. Why are there divisions in the church today? Because only certain people can sit at my table. And if you're not like me, if you don't believe like me, if you weren't baptized like me, if you don't go to church every Sunday and Wednesday like me, if you don't read your Bible every day at 5 o'clock in the morning for 30 minutes and then pray for 20 minutes, you can't sit at my table. Go find another table. Go find a group of lazy Christians who don't do all that. But I'm one of the good guys. And so if you want to be at my table, you got to be like me. And that's what legalism Absolutely. Is all about. Yeah. I guarantee you, all of us have been into churches, and we wanted to go in. We wanted to feel welcomed. We wanted to feel a part of that group. And all of a sudden, we felt ostracized. Why? Because we didn't fit in. We didn't have all of the things that they require.
The right stuff.
That's right. We didn't have the right stuff. Yeah. So can I sit at your table? If you're a child of God, I'm a child of God. The answer is always yes. Why? Because God's grace has fitted us out to be long to Him and to belong to one another.
Great point, great lesson, and that's Basic Gospel, friends. We want to hear from you on this edition. Plenty of open lines. If you have something you'd like to add to this part of the conversation, or you'd like to introduce something new, perhaps a Bible question, give us a call right now. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time. Toll free, 800-677-9377. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. I know there's been a number of people, and I went to a church and decided to join this church, and they said, well, I couldn't join it unless I was baptized the way they baptize. Mm-hmm. I said, well, wait a minute, I've already been baptized. I said, well, I know, but we don't accept that. So if you want to be a part of us, you have to be baptized this way. That's one of those things, no, you can't sit at my table, yeah. Things. You know, you weren't baptized like the way we were, or you didn't do this. So it's an important, and I'm sure everyone in our listening audience has experienced that yeah. at some point where they got the answer back, no, you can't sit with us because you're not like us. Type of thing. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. We're going to start up in New York and talk with Ann, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ann.
Hi. First of all, thank you for all you do for the Lord. And my question is about tithing. I heard on the radio a pastor was saying that if you are poor, you are not required to tithe like the 10%. So I wanted to know the answer to that.
Well, Ann, great question, and I'm going to back it up just a second and ask this question. Are we old covenant believers or new covenant believers? Because
no.
that's important. We're new covenant believers. Well, you know, Ann, there is no place in the new covenant from the time of Christ dying on the cross, and that's when the new covenant was ushered in at that very moment in time. There is no place in the new covenant that ever mentions tithing. It's not part of the new covenant. That was part of the old covenant. But in the new covenant, we're to give joyfully, cheerfully, without obligation, no compulsion, just as the Spirit of God moves in our hearts to give. And so whatever we can give joyfully, cheerfully, that's what we give. And for many people, that's much more than 10%. For many people who are struggling, that may be less, but there's still joy in giving. So, Ann, as a new covenant believer in Christ, you just let the Spirit of God lead you as far as your giving is concerned.
Okay.
Does that make sense
to you?
Yeah,
it makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let me
Thank
do
you
this.
Very much.
You are welcome. We have some resources on that, and we'd love to send them to you if you would like them.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
let me
put you on hold, Ann. Thanks for calling. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. We would remind you that there are many resources available from our online store, including that we'll be sending to Ann. And you can find it at store.basicgospel.net. Plenty of resources that will lead you into a better understanding of the Christian life and to your identity as a child of the living God. And, of course, we've been talking about that all this month.
Yes, we have. And, Richard, this question that Ann posed about tithing, again, that's one of those issues,
yeah.
those dividing lines. You know, I give 10% and you can sit at my table if you prove to me that you give 10%.
Well, but I give more than that, so you can't sit at my table.
Well, there you go.
There
so, and all of that becomes an old covenant deal. Uh-huh. We lift up those old covenant laws, and we put those as standards for accepting one another. we're not in the old covenant. We're new covenant. And that's so vitally important for us. As children of God, we live in the new covenant, period, end of story. And there we are to be led by the Spirit. And that means as far as giving is concerned as well.
Yes.
Well, let's go to Curtis in Washington, D.C., listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate what you guys are doing, man. I mean, it's really been a blessing, man, to all the listeners, including me.
Well, thank you, great. Curtis. Thanks for those kind words. We appreciate that.
But my question is, actually, I have a friend of mine. It really amazed me because he's been sharing the gospel. But for some reason, he chose to study with Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was talking with him the other day, and he stated that, first of all, they don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
No, they don't.
They said that came from the devil. That's what he told me.
That's.
And he said that when they read, in the beginning was the Word, they don't say the Word was God. They say, and the Word was with God. So they said that Jesus, he's God, but he's not God Almighty.
Yeah, he's God with a little g type
right.
of thing. They don't put him in the same level as God the Father. And so basically they deny Jesus, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They live in that old Testament. They've rewritten the New Testament to express their belief that Jesus is not God. That John 1 passage is a perfect illustration of that. So they've translated to read that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, not God singular type of thing. So. They have a lot of strange beliefs. Like I said, they've rewritten the Word of God to match with their belief system, and their way of salvation is by works. It is not by grace through faith, and those are key elements to look at when you're examining any group's belief system. What do they say about Jesus? What do they say about the Word of God, and what is their plan of salvation?
Okay. That's a good answer. It's a great answer.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, Curtis. We have a great little book, The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Jehovah's Witness. Ron Rhodes, who's a friend of our ministry, put this together. He's done quite the research on this particular group. And this is a real easy to understand and follow resource. Love to put it in your hands, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Will you hold on, Curtis? We'll get your information and we'll send it to you as our compliments.
10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Jehovah's Witness. You can find that also on our online store at store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Elizabeth, New Jersey, and talk with Deborah, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Deborah.
Today.
Doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm blessed. I wanted to know about Ananias and Sapphira. How come that happened to them and this was after the cross? I don't understand why they were, you know, put to death.
Well, it's an interesting story. It's one of those stories that really make us scratch our heads on a number of different levels. But they, you know, they saw Barnabas. Barnabas had offered up a piece of land. He sold it, and he put all of the proceeds from the sale of that land at the feet of the apostles. And boy, that brought some real praise from the group. And Ananias and Sapphira saw that, and they wanted a little bit of that praise and adulation for themselves. So they plotted together. They sold a piece of land, and they kept some of the money back for themselves. But they said to everybody that we have given everything exactly like Barnabas had. And so they lied. They didn't need to lie. They weren't obligated to give
not at all
the proceeds of that land. Well, Peter, somehow under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, knew what was going on, and he called them out. And when he called them out, he called out Ananias first. And when he did, Ananias fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And about 3 hours later, Peter confronted Sapphira, and the same thing happened with her. And their deal was that they lied to the Holy Spirit. They flat out lied about what they had done. And when called out upon it, upon that, they died. Now, as we read the text, there's a couple of things to note. Nowhere in this does it say that God struck them dead. That's implied somehow, and so folks just believe that it's written in the text, but it's not there. The other thing about Ananias and Sapphira that's not noted in the text is their relationship with the Lord. We don't know if they're true believers or not. They just may have been fringe folks, hanging out, kind of interested in what was going on within this body of believers and wanted to find out more. And I think this could have been a story that really showed the true nature of their heart. So it's not a given that they were believers in Christ. We tend to put that in there. Here are these believers in Christ. God struck them dead. Well, we don't know that for sure, do we?
No. Okay. All right. I understand now. I know after reading it again while you were speaking, I see that, and it doesn't say that at all, that they were, believers or anything like that. And I even have it written in my Bible. It says, not a disciple. So that must have meant something.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. So the story is just the story. This is what happened. I don't think we need to read anything more into it than what's there on the page.
Okay, thank you so much for clarifying that for me. That's been troubling me for the longest time. I thank you so much for clearing it up.
Well, you're more than welcome, Deborah. Thanks for your call today, and we're glad we could help you on that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Yonkers and talk with Don, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Don.
Hello, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to engage and talk to you and listen to you on Basic Gospel. And the Holy Spirit's guidance is what is necessary. And as we look at our lives living in Christ Jesus, who is the truth, the way, and the life, and we live there, we know that the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son is guiding our steps as he has guided mine to speak to you today. The issue of baptism is one that is a stumbling block in the church. And when you look at that and you know that the evil spirit that's in the spiritual realm is played with the church with this one, and it gives us little issues like that so that we can fuss with each other when we should be loving one another and standing beside one another and not letting these things divide us. So we should be careful, and we that are really living in Christ can see these issues and help one another to get past them. I do have a friend, and I count him as a brother, who probably still thinks that because I wasn't baptized in Jesus' name, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that I'm not saved. And sometimes we've gotten over this engagement and battle over that issue, which was heavy at one time, and we still love each other. So that's what the issue is, being guided by the truth and the Holy Spirit and not by what another man may think about the issues that come up within the family.
Well, you're absolutely right. Yes. And when we all stand before the Lord, when we die and go and or in his presence, we're not going to talk about the ways that we were baptized, whether we were right. sprinkled, whether we were immersed once or immersed three times in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're not going to bring that up at all. Why? Because that's going to be a non-issue. Why? The only baptism that really matters is spiritual baptism. Jesus put it like this: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist, baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that regenerates. It's the Holy Spirit that takes us out of Adam and places us into Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into the body of Christ. None of that is done by water. It is all done by the Holy Spirit. That's why all praise and honor and glory can go to Christ Jesus. This is his work and
Bob.
his work alone. Okay, Don. Hey, thanks for your call, my friend, and thanks
God
for...
God bless you, my friend and brother.
Well, you are so welcome. Thanks for recognizing that it's all about relationship, one with another, that is made possible because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Don.
Indeed. Well, let's go to London, England, and talk with Saab listening to us. Hi, Saab. How are you today?
I'm fine. Is that Bob or... Who am I speaking to?
Bob Christopher, and Richard is here, and Bob Davis is here as well. And welcome, my friend.
Okay, Bob. Yeah, thank you so much for your ministry. I'm really thanks for God. You're really, really feeding us spiritually. We are so healthy in spiritually. Every day I'm listening to your broadcast. My question is today, under that new covenant, how that fasting prayer fitting? So I used to fast before I discovered this gospel. And now, once I realized my identity and I'm child of God, and after that, so I don't really feel to fast and pray, just pray, but I don't feel to fast and pray.
Well, I think that's an outgrowth of the work of God's Spirit inside of you. You had some reasons that you fasted before. Maybe you were fasting to feel closer to God, to draw near to Him. And then when you found out truth, you understood that you're as near to God as you can be. Yes. He's right there alive, living in you, Saab. And that's the wonderful good news of the gospel. It's not just about the fact that Christ died for us 2,000 years ago, but he was raised to life so that he could come and live inside of us. And so he's there. And it's like Jesus said to those disciples who were questioning him about fasting. He said, well, when the bridegroom is here, we all rejoice. And I think that's what you're experiencing. You're rejoicing in the fact that you are in God's presence, that you are in Christ, and that Christ is in you. And that is
that's
just
true, yeah.
a wonderful, wonderful truth. So I think you're just resting in what Christ has accomplished for you. You're not trying to do some things to be more spiritual, to be more accepted in his sight. You're just resting in that truth that's been made known to you through God's Spirit. And that's great news, isn't it, Saab? Well, we're out of time, and we are so honored that you picked up the phone and called us today. Yes. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get some more information from you and see if we can help you further. And thanks so much for your call, my friend.
Thanks, Bob. You know, God's love is perfect. It never fails, and he gives it freely to those he calls his own. Bob Christopher's four-message series called When God Is For You homes right in on this very subject, and we invite you to take a journey with Bob to see how God's love plays out in the lives of those he calls his own. When God Is For You. Available at store.basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Well, that's our broadcast for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.